out live from Everbank Field. 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in. Happy Wednesday. Wednesday brought to you by Metro Rooter here live at Everbank. It's Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith. Tony, when are we going to get a totally brand new, renovated, state-of-the-art radio studio? That's about the only thing they haven't changed over here at the stadium
yet. Got the TVs,
we
finally.
We did get some nice new TVs in here, so thank you, Papa Shad.
Yeah, they might
thank
work.
Thank you, Santa Shad. They work. No, they do. They work well. We used them this weekend. They work very well. Unlike the other ones worked okay, I suppose, but they were just they were relics from another time.
They were.
Let's say that. We had the one box TV in the corner. I don't know when the last time that thing was drawing any electricity, but we've upgraded slowly but surely. But the city of Jacksonville, the city council, voting 19-0 yesterday, Tony, to approve the city's portion, which is basically half. I assume they're splitting it right down the middle of the $90 million in renovations. You're going to have an amphitheater built. You're going to have a covered flex field, as it's called, that's going to be used for a variety of things, including Jaguar indoor practices when the weather dictates or they so choose to practice indoors. And also something that I think is going to really be spectacular as part of the inside the stadium aspect is glassing the walls in the club level seating. I think it's the 100 and 200 level, right, is I think what they're doing. And basically, instead of walking inside and having a wall and you'd have to watch a game on a TV monitor while you're getting your food, they're just going to tear the walls out and put in giant windows, basically.
Yep.
So you can, you're going to be more in the stadium experience when you're inside in the clubs than ever before by a wide margin. I think it's going to change the look of the stadium for the better on the inside. I think it's going to be pretty exciting. So once again, Shad Khan wishes, opens his mouth, he speaks it into existence, it happens. The guy is a mover and a shaker. And I get it, the city council needed to approve this, but Shad Khan's the driving force here, man. Shad Khan wanted the shipyard project to get going. That was going to take too long. He said, all right, to hell with that. We're going to do this in a much quicker timetable, and we're going to get this indoor facility, and we're going to get it now. And basically, as soon as the season is over with, after the Tax Slayer Bowl, presuming the Jags don't make a miracle run to the AFC South title and have a home game to play, they will immediately begin working on building the new upgrades that should be ready by July, they say.
Yeah, whenever football is done in this stadium for this season, they'll start working on those upgrades. And for Florida Georgia fans out there who maybe are asking what about the seating capacity for that game, they're saying it's not going to change at all in the stadium, even with the new the club seats coming in, that they're, whatever seats they're replacing are going to be somewhere else in the stadium as well, whether it be pulling those tarps or whatever it happens to be. They got the exact same seating capacity that they're going to have before this and after this. And honestly, it's something that Jacksonville has needed for a while, is the indoor practice facility, and that it took this long is a bit of a shame, honestly, for the Jaguars franchise. But it's finally coming. And look, I think the amphitheater is kind of the forgotten thing because it's not on the football side of things here, but that amphitheater in downtown Jacksonville, I think, could be a big draw. I know the St. Augustine Amphitheater gets a lot of those mid-level acts.
They get a lot of nice acts down there.
Right, that come down there, and now you have that same kind of pull happening in Jacksonville instead of St. Augustine, potentially. And the things that you could do with that on game day or game weekend, the events that you can have with that kind of amphitheater being in downtown Jacksonville right next to the stadium, I think it only adds to what game day can be in Jacksonville, which is already a completely different experience than it was 3 years ago when Shad Khan took over this team with the boards and the pools and the cabanas and all this other stuff that's happening. Now you're talking about having the amphitheater and these upgraded club seats as well. I mean, it's a completely different experience going to Jaguars games than it has been before Shad Khan got this team.
And by the way, let's not make this into a war between Duval and St. John's County, okay? There's plenty of acts to go around.
Duval.
We will keep Stevie Nicks, and you guys can have the Counting Crows, okay? And that's kind of how I'm looking at some of these acts that will be coming through. But it's exciting. But here's the thing. We all know the most important thing is the on-field product. I mean, it's not the only important thing, but it's the most important thing. And please, for goodness sakes, let's not let the Jaguar fan base turn into the Cubs fan base, right? Where all we've got are amenities and a fancy ballpark and years of misery and losing and getting excited about Ben Zobrist. We're not going to be that squad, are we, that gets all excited about Ben Zobrist as if we've won something for the first time in our young fans' lifetimes. Hint, hint. Tyler Devitt. All right. So, look, the winning's got to match it on the field, but as far as
they know that, they acknowledge it at every step.
I know they do. I know they do.
They get it. It's that they got here and they understood that, look, if you're going to draw more fans to the stadium, it's got to be about the on-field product, but we also have to upgrade the opportunity for people to come down here. We have to give them reasons to want to be at the stadium and make it more convenient, more fun to be a part of game days. Not that it was boring to go to Jaguars games 5 years ago, but they understood that it needed to be upgraded. Everything down here needed to be upgraded, and they've done their part, and it feels like the football team is close to turning a corner. They haven't turned it yet. They're 4-8, right? So you can't say, oh, they're here, they've arrived. They certainly haven't done that yet, but you are talking about a football team this year that's been playing in 11 out of 12 of their games have been basically fourth quarter football games. They've only found a way to win four of those 11 games. You got to see what they're going to do in this last month. But 2016 certainly seems circled. Whatever changes they make this offseason, 2016 is going to be circled as the year where they have to take that big step forward. And it looks like they have pieces in place where they at least potentially can starting next year.
I want to talk about this a little bit more going forward, and we will. And today's question of the day lines up with this. Now that the indoor practice facility, amphitheater, and the club seat renovation has been approved by the city council, and the Jags will match with their half of the money, what is the next off-the-field improvement? And I'm not talking coaching staff, and no one's gone that route that I've seen in some of the early replies, but that counts as part of the on-field product as far as we're concerned. So outside of the coaching staff, the personnel on this football team, obviously more wins, a better record, a more competitive team, all those things that we're talking about are extremely important. But beyond that, just in terms of the game day experience, the stadium experience, what have you, the improvements and what they mean for the city of Jacksonville, what is the next project you'd like to see taken on? Dream big. Shot Khan does, and he pretty much gets what he puts his mind to or makes it happen. It's not like it falls out of the sky. There's a lot of work going on behind the scenes, but it's pretty exciting to see when Shot mentions something, you pretty much know it's going to happen in short order, sooner rather than later. So we'll get to that today. Again, the Tom Bush Family Dealership's Fan Feedback Spotlight. Which off-the-field upgrade would you be most in favor of seeing next? What's the next thing you want to see come for your football team and their amenities here in Jacksonville, Florida? Also coming up today, John Osier from Jaguars.com will stop by. We've got Dr. Stephen Lucy from JOI with your midweek injury report. We'll see if we can get the latest on what's going on with Paul Posluszny and that hand. As far as that goes, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you today. If you'd like to get on board, 641-1010 is the call-in number. It's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL and at 1010XL Fat Tony. And over on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, we've got one of those artist renderings that's going around of what the proposed indoor facility would look like. So you can pop on there if you want to see just how cool that thing looks. And it'll be on the, let me see, what would that be? The south end of the stadium, right? Where the old practice fields were on the other end of the stadium where a lot of the event stuff go on in the pregame right now. All right, let's get underway. Wednesdays brought to you by our friends at Metro Rooter. It's Jaguars Today. We'll roll on in the moment on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Johnny O will be by in about 10 minutes from Jaguars.com. We'll get into the on-field product as it pertains to this week's game against the Indianapolis Colts. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM, a Metro Rooter Wednesday. If you'd like to get on board, 641-1010 is the way to do it. That's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. We will check on that periodically throughout the program. Also coming up a little bit later on today, we're going to have some four packs of tickets to go see the United States National Rugby Squad, which did defeat Jamaica last Friday night over at Hodges Stadium on the campus of UNF. They'll be playing this Saturday at 3 o'clock against Team Canada. Win and they're in to the World Cup in 2017. This is the final qualifier. It's one spot between those two teams. Canada tied Jamaica. So Jamaica is eliminated with a loss and a tie in round robin play. Canada and Jamaica played to an 18-all draw last night. So if the United States either ties or beats Canada on Saturday, Team USA goes to the World Cup. That's the highest level of competition for rugby league play, and this is the highest level of team in the United States. This is the official national team. We talked to some of those guys last week, Tony, and so it's pretty exciting. Go out Saturday, wear your red, white, and blue. Look, you got... if you're a Gator fan, football season is over until the bowl game now. Seminoles been that case for a week. You've got plenty of free time, hopefully, this weekend with the Jags playing at home on Sunday. Saturday afternoon, you want a little sporting activity to get into. That is the one right there. So get ready to wear your red, white, and blue. We'll have four packs of tickets that you'll have to pick up sometime after noon today, as they'll be dropped off over at the station by noon. And we'll have four packs today, tomorrow, and Friday to give away. So be listening for your opportunity to score those. Here's, you know, these kind of things go on off the field with the Jags, Tony. And maybe I'm naive to think there's a correlation to what will eventually happen on the field, but every time Shad Khan does something like this, I'm reminded of how Mark Cuban started to rebrand the Dallas Mavericks franchise when he bought the team, right? And one of the first things he did was rip up the locker room, put it in a brand new locker room, make it a first class facility. You think, well, how does that help you win games? Well, it doesn't necessarily help you win games, but it might be the small difference between a free agent deciding, hey, I want to play here because it's first class, and I want to play somewhere else entirely. And if your players are treated like first-class citizens, they have friends throughout the league. We see guys, and it ticks fans off sometimes, after games, hugging it out at midfield, you know, after you've just gone for 3 hours and one team's the loser and the fans are dejected and the players are laughing it up. Well, they all talk amongst each other, right? And the word gets out that it's a great organization to play for. Now, again, winning trumps all this. I'm not saying it doesn't, but these things can make a difference. And to me, Shad Khan is a doer. He's simply a doer. He puts his mind to something. He doesn't understand why something can't be done. He just has always been that kind of guy. He's a self-made guy. And if he says, I have a vision for this, it comes to fruition. We've seen it time and again with the enhancements with this stadium. Now, we like to see it with the enhancements with the roster. But this is where the naive part comes in. I just believe that his desire to have everything first class will eventually trickle down, and he's not going to settle for the product on the field not being up to his standards. Now, up to this point, there are people out there right now listening who are probably saying it's already beyond that point. How can you accept what's going on? Who knows? Maybe there'll be changes this all season. We don't know how the rest of the season is going to play out. But and I do understand as well that probably every owner in pro sports has had their level of success at whatever their chosen profession is before they bought the team, and that's how they made their money. But not all of them operate, in my eyes, the way that Shad Khan does. Wayne Weaver still and may always be, to me, the most important sports figure in the city of Jacksonville because he had the chance to get a franchise granted to him by the NFL if he would choose to go to St. Louis. And he said, no, it's either here or nowhere for me. I'm either going to get a team in Jacksonville or not going to get a team at all. They went back to the revote, and eventually they were so taken with Wayne Weaver that they granted the franchise to the city of Jacksonville. And without him, there's nothing, none of this matters. None of this is talked about. It never happened. So he's always going to be instrumental. But to me, he became really hands-off in the last portion of his ownership here, where Shad Khan is he's like, hey, I'm not happy with this. We're going to fix it. And it gets fixed. And eventually everything gets fixed. Again, product on the field is not an exact science. You can't just say, well, all we have to do is buy X, Y, and Z, and then it's going to work out. In construction, you know, hey, if we pay X amount of money, here's the project, we're going to hire the right people, it's going to get built. So it's not a perfect correlation, but every time something like this happens, Tony, it makes me think there's just no way that this losing can go on forever under his tenure. I just, and again, maybe I'm naive to think that's the case because there have probably been some other great, innovative owners out there that were losers for a long time on the field.
The culture had to change, and it had to change drastically. And that's when I talk about, you know, a moment ago, we say all the stuff that had to change in this organization. Wayne Weaver deserves to be remembered and respected as the person who brought the National Football League to Jacksonville. But Wayne Weaver couldn't do the things that Shad Khan can do. And because of the things that were happening with Wayne as the owner and with Gene as the general manager, where guys who love Jacksonville, love the Jaguars, when they're asked questions about, you know, things that were happening behind the scenes in Jacksonville as far as negotiations for contracts, the way that they were handled, these aren't good stories. And it's legends of Jacksonville. It's guys like Fred Taylor. It's guys like David Garrard, who we talk to all the time, who talk about some of the ways that they were dealt with. When you compare it directly with other NFL organizations, players know that. They know, you know, how the general manager, how the owner is dealing with things in these different cities. It needed to change if the Jaguars were going to become a competitive NFL product again, because they do talk to each other. You talk about the culture changing in Dallas with Cuban. I do think it's a very similar thing where I don't think the locker room is the reason why the Jaguars are going to get good, but it's not going to be a reason why they can't get anybody to come to Jacksonville anymore. You know, Shad Khan's not going to get in the way of the Jacksonville Jaguars doing anything off the field. He's not going to get in the way of them spending money in free agency. He's not going to be that guy. Instead, I think he gives his people the opportunity to go out and get things done. I don't think this is an organization that 4 years ago signed Jared Odrick, and I think he has been a good player for this team. I don't think they spend the kind of money they did on Julius Thomas 4 or 5 years ago because they just couldn't. They couldn't with Wayne Weaver as the owner. They can with Shad Khan. And I think you're already seeing the difference that can make. And he wants to expand it beyond what's just happening on the field. He wants to make the fan experience better because he thinks that in the end will trickle down to the other players in this league looking around and saying, that isn't a place I'm just going to avoid anymore. When I hear Jacksonville, it's not like, nah, I have no interest in Jacksonville. It's like, I hear some good things are happening in Jacksonville and that they're taking care of their guys in Jacksonville, and that's not a storyline that was around 5-6 years ago. It's becoming the story with Jacksonville now with players around the league.
Shad likes his toys. I mean, he does, right? I mean, look, a guy will have an $80 gazillion yacht and he'll want a $90 gazillion yacht.
Yeah.
That's good. That's what you want from your owner. You want an owner who will not be satisfied and not settle. And I know, I'm sure there are people saying, then why haven't we seen change already? Again, it's his prerogative. If change is in the offing, it will come this offseason.
Well, it's
easier
to change
at this point.
It's easier to change the way your stadium looks than the way your team plays.
Sure it is.
That's an easier thing to do, but I think they can go hand in hand.
And trust me, and as a fan of the Yankees, okay, I loved when George Steinbrenner owned the team, okay, before he passed away, because he would spend anything, whatever it took, to try to win. Didn't matter to him. The bottom line, look, they were always going to make money. But he didn't care if he saved a few extra dollars here. He wanted to win, and that was the bottom line. And it didn't always work, and sometimes he went overboard because he got too hands-on with the actual on-field product, and he fired managers over and over, and it wasn't until he was suspended and was forced to remove himself from the equation that the team turned its fortunes around in the 1990s. Well, Shad Khan's not that guy. He's not that kind of guy. Certainly, he hasn't been reactionary, I don't think, and I understand Mike Mularkey only got 1 year, but I think after that, he said, we've got to bring in a new crew, and I've got to give them the opportunity to put their plan into effect and let it play out.
He was changing GMs too.
Right, he was.
Right, so he was saying, look, I'm going to bring in a football guy and I'm going to trust my football guy to make a good football decision.
But he'll only trust him so far, right, until the results get to the point where he says, enough is enough, I don't care what the reasons are. You know, you mentioned Odrick. I just want to say this. So I hear people talk about him and say, oh, he didn't deserve to be the highest paid guy on the defense. What difference does it make to anyone who the highest paid guy on the defense is, honestly? Because it's not like there's one superstar that's pining away because, man, I'm really underpaid. First of all, you got young guys like Aaron Colvin and Telvin Smith. They're on rookie contracts. They're not eligible to make more than they're making right now. They may be some of your brightest guys. It's always the guy who gets the next contract, Tony. I think Jared Otter gets played pretty decent football as well this year. People are like, wow, how come he doesn't create more pass rush? That's not what he was brought to do.
No.
That's not his role.
He was brought here to stop the run.
He was brought here to be a little bit more explosive Red Bryant, right? And he has been. He's been better as a pass rusher, and the Jags, for the most part, had been pretty good against the run this year. They hadn't been anything good defensively in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, things like that, I don't understand what it bothers people all that much. You know, the idea of somebody making more money than they should. But, again, the Jags are nowhere near being in cap trouble. In fact, with the latest projected salary cap rise coming next year, they're expected to be about $45 million right now under the cap.
Yeah.
Now, if they release guys like Chris Clemens, they're going to save oodles more money. I mean, there are other guys that may be on the fence on this roster. They've got all the money they need to go out there. Now there need to be players that are willing to take that money and that fit what they're trying to do. But paying Jared Odrick is not hampering them from doing anything.
No, it's not. And I think that money being available to him is all the more reason why some of the off-field stuff matters. I'm not saying that it makes the difference for every free agent player, but it can make the difference for some. And the discussion that is being had in league circles about your team and about your organization does make a difference in free agency, especially in a league where the salary cap is going to keep going up. It's going up and up and up and up and up. So the Jaguars aren't the only team in the league that's flush with cash to spend in free agency. You have to have something that can make a difference for you at some point. I think Shad Khan is the type of guy with the type of mentality that can make a difference when it comes to this team trying to separate themselves from what they were basically in the 2000s and come into the 21st century as a team that can stamp itself as one of the better teams in this league. I think you have to have all those pieces in place. Shad Khan has certainly shown since he's gotten here to me that he's willing to do things in a first-class way. And yesterday that vote is another example of it. He wants this city and this team to be at the top. And the on-field product has to catch up with what they're doing away from the field.
All right, let's take a break here. We will come back. John Osier from Jaguars.com. I'm sure he'll weigh in on the latest news with the city council voting unanimously to approve the upgrades to the EverBank experience. And we'll also get to on the field this week against the Indianapolis Colts. That's straight ahead on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you live at EverBank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
All right, Oh No's. Johnny O is here with us. And he's just telling us he's a bit of a handyman, a bit of a Mr. Fix-It, Tony. He likes to get under the hood, work on his own car.
No, not true.
Oh, is that not the case?
No, no.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have totally misunderstood that story. You're talking about the joys of car maintenance.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who is really a fan of it, but it's good when you got somebody who you can trust. Right?
Yes, I prefer people I can trust, and I hope I have my car in the hands of somebody. That's the case. We'll see.
You prefer people you can trust, yet you keep coming back to spend time with us every few days, which is nice.
Are you washing the Miami windbreaker today?
Or is that it? It's not like I wear it every day. And I know this is your thing now. Like, I'm going to call it green, and every day he's going to mention it's gray and da-da-da. And then PCAP, Patrick Kavanaugh, comes in here the other day, and he looks at it and he goes, I said, PCAP, what color is this? He goes, I don't know, green? Like, what is wrong with you people, honestly? Are you all blind? Is there something in the water down here? Maybe if Tony and I work here long enough, we'll have the same issues. We've got new improvements coming once again. Shad wants, Shad gets, right? It seems that way, right? If he envisions something, it comes to fruition sooner rather than later.
Well, and I think a lot of it is because usually what he wants is a pretty cool idea, and one that appeals to people not only aesthetically but logically, you know, and so I usually pretty good ideas, and they make sense. And then when they're presented to people who are making the decisions, they make a lot of sense. And it was needed. I heard you guys talking, the infusion of life, energy, newness, or whatever that he's given everything around here is remarkable. I mean, I don't think you could have 5 years ago, and I wasn't here 5 years ago, but 4 years ago when I got back, there's no way I could have remotely predicted the changes that he's made. I mean, it's unbelievable, and it's the biggest thing toward saving and making this work here.
He's dragging it into the 21st century,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're throwing it into the 21st century.
And what's interesting is he could have easily built a bubble for the practice facility.
Sure.
I mean, that would have been the thing to do, the thing that most owners would have done, and there would have been a press conference. It'd been cool. But it was when he announced this thing, it was up in the – or not announced. When he spoke to the media about it in September, he said something along the lines, and he was talking about it, and he said he was talking about the bubble. And somebody else asked him a question. And then about the third question, he goes, yeah, it won't just be a normal bubble. He didn't say bubble, but he's talking about the indoor practice facility. And he said, yeah, it won't just be a normal indoor practice facility. And I leaned over to one of the writers, and I went, of course it won't.
No.
Right. I mean, why would it be?
Right, because yeah. Somebody else has a really cool
right.
bubble. We're going to have a better bubble.
He's not just
right?
going to have a car.
No, yeah. That's what I said. He's eight, gonna, an 80 gazillion dollar right. yacht. He wants a 90 gazillion
when
dollar
When Sean comes to you and said, hey, you want to see my boat? You're probably not going to go out and see like a little pontoon boat.
It's probably not going to be, right. Unless, so, and if it is, it's going to be the baddest pontoon
yeah,
boat in the
well,
land.
Well, that'll be the boat that takes you to the boat.
Right.
Yeah.
Could be.
So, I mean, as a long way of saying, you've gotten to the point where when he has an idea, you just sort of hold your breath and wait for it. And then when you see the artist renderings of it and you've driven by it, I've driven by this area every day on my way to work for 4.5 years, and you look at it, the remarkable thing is the amount of time that it's going to take to get this thing done. I can't even begin to understand how you do something like that in 6 or 7 months.
Right. Well,
but it'll do it.
It's going to be the amphitheater, the practice facility, and then honestly, and this won't impact everyone, but for the aesthetic of the stadium, the
cool.
club
yeah.
seats to have those windows put in, I think is going to connect those people
sure.
back to the game in a way. You know, they go inside, and I know they watch it on TV, and they're getting food, and they're doing all these things. I would hope that there will be times when they're drawn back into
right.
the bowl because they see the excitement. Oh, let me get out there. You know what? I'll get my hot dog later. Let me get back out there because this is going on. And you can feel what's happening now. And it's going to reconnect some of those people, I think, with a moment-by-moment kind of interaction with what the product on the field.
Remarkably, it's a 21-year-old stadium now, I guess. Is that a 20, whatever the age is, a couple of decades. And it's on the verge of feeling like a new state. And that's a pretty, you know, without all the, hey, we need a $450 million stadium or whatever the price tag, much more than that,
probably
obviously.
Much more than
yeah.
that.
So I think it was obvious that was going to be a tough sell if you just tried to have the whole thing at once. But over time, you are modernizing what functionally is a fine stadium, but it was originally built, remember, in 95, even at the time, with few bells and whistles for the time, because it just needed to get done. It needed to be better than the Gator Bowl. It needed to be NFL ready. But it was not a bells and whistles state-of-the-art type deal at the time. I don't say not state-of-the-art. It was fine. But it did not have the amenities, again, the bells and whistles that anything now does. And now you're adding those, and you've got yourself what is starting to feel like a new stadium.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
It's unbelievable.
And, you know, look, in the shipyard project, maybe it'll still happen at some point, but it wasn't happening fast enough for Sean. Sean's like, you know what? We're going to do this now.
It feels like with the shipyards, there's so much to do with, you know, the back end stuff.
There's a lot more political red tape. There's a lot of ecological cleanup that needs to go on.
He looked at it and said, well, what can I do without the red tape?
Right.
And, okay, well, this is here. Okay, this makes sense.
And I can get it done by when? Okay, kickoff yeah. of the 2016 season?
You call them a doer, mover, and shaker. That's really the thing. I don't know how many people would have thought of the idea, but then when you take the attitude of, well, I'm not just going to sit around with my buddies and have a beer and think, well,
wouldn't
what
would it
be
cool?
Yeah,
what we would do is time, go, right?
Hey, it'd be cool if we did this.
Yeah.
Well, Shad does that, and you know, 6 months later, it's real. So, I mean, that's the thing that
maybe
I
that's
get.
Why
there's always
he's a billionaire,
80 sides,
we're not?
Of, right?
Yeah.
There's always 80 sides of an issue. It's people saying about the football. People saying, well, what about this? What about this? But, you know, from my point of view, I just think it's incredible.
Well, look, just because if you wait until the football gets good to do all these things, you don't have to wait. These are things that can happen right now. They're not right. They're not mutually exclusive. Both things can happen. They're working towards the football getting better, and I understand it. Again, there are people out there right now, every time you say something like that, they're saying, it's not happening fast enough. That's fine. That's
right.
But that
and there's
doesn't
the
mean-
people who say, well, why don't they spend this on a defensive end? Well, you know,
two
obviously,
different pools of money. They got all right. It's not preventing them from spending anything on a defensive
completely
end.
Completely different arguments. And I guess the question is, what should they have done? Sat around and did nothing to the stadium and wait until they're 10-6? That would have been silly.
Right. Well,
why
you know,
that?
part
you
of getting to 10-6,
right.
I think, is attracting, making this more of a destination
right.
for free agents to consider.
It's two separate sides of the building, and as you said, what we're talking here's the thing. All the things that he can control, he has pushed in an unbelievably positive direction. On the field, it's harder to control because it's a competitive situation with different elements. But all the stuff he can control, you've seen the direction and you've seen the way his mind works.
Sure,
it's incredible.
You could sign every free agent that was on your wish list, and it might not work out.
Probably.
You just don't know. Right. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Percentage-wise, that usually doesn't work.
Here, there's a pretty good chance, you know, there may be some cost overruns or maybe, you know,
right.
delays or what have you, but pretty much within a narrow window, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to get done.
Yeah,
so.
It's exciting and, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing it, obviously.
All right, let's talk about Paul Posluszny and that hand. No official update or word yet.
I don't get the idea that the news today is going to be that Pos is ruled out. I mean, I know he has a fractured hand. You know, he'll probably just take that hand and put it through a wall. You know, I mean, and I'm joking.
He'll use the club seats because they're going to knock those out.
Right, just grab one of the club seats, tape it up, and go. But you get the idea that it will be, let's try to figure out if there's a way to play. Let's try to figure out if it's a club, as they say, where it's just so wrapped. Let's figure out if it works. You would think with a fractured hand that you give it a go. If you can make it work, you play. If you can't figure out a way to make it work, it's not like the fractured hand is going to heal by the end of the season, I wouldn't think.
Right.
So it's most likely, let's see what happens.
We've seen guys play with a club. Obviously, the issue is you're not able to grab anything with that hand.
Right.
It's going to make tackling more difficult.
Yeah, maybe he just goes and knocks him down.
Maybe he does. No, but you can tackle like
right.
that. I mean, there's certainly ways to do it, but
I think
it's going to make you less effective.
In this situation, he's so important to what they do in terms of he's a guy that you can trust to be in the right spot. He's a guy that you trust to get people lined up. He's a guy who's obviously very good against the run, struggled in pass protection, I mean, in pass coverage the other day. So I think with him, with everything else going on around linebacker, they would love to find some way to get anything involving him on the field.
Oh, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I mean, because right now, Jordan Tripp, very unproven guy.
60% of Paz struggling with the right hand is probably pretty valuable to that group right now.
Right. Might be better than 100% of the alternative, you know, and that's
and the way it influences people around, you know, the calls that he makes, the things that he sees are important considering the youth around him.
Right. And I'm sure there are people say, well, they're terrible on defense. What difference would it make? Trust me. You know, you take your better players out of any unit, it will have an absolute impact.
Never say it can't get worse.
It can always get worse, right? I mean, we saw that in Tampa, his absence. I don't think it's all just because of his absence. You have a game like that where they are able to run it up and down the field on you, but
and he's not a perfect player. There are obviously deals in pass coverage where you would love somebody faster in there. But the thing that he brings you with the run and with the other things, right now this team needs him on the field.
How about a lazy river around the stadium? It's got that one in from Crazy D12.
I'll mention it to Shot.
Yeah? I mean, I think that'd be kind of cool. You know, leading in and out of the pools, make your way around. I'm sure that it would be kept
very
hygienic.
Usually what he does is he says, John, what do you think?
Right. Lazy River.
Yeah. And I'll say Lazy River.
I think Lazy River would be good. Yeah. It needs to go right below the press box window so we can
awesome.
Take in all manner of humanity. All right. We got a break. What do you have coming up today,
Jags.com Live? We'll be on about 10 minutes before Blake Bortles at, I think we're on 11:35. But Alan Hearn's the guest with J.P. Shadrick, and always interesting to talk to Alan. Good kid, and when he talks to the media, tries to be very insightful. So it's always interesting to talk to him.
All right, there he is, John Osier, Jaguars.com. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
All right, coming back to State and Football and the Honda Drive around the NFL. This is 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date in 1949, Tony, the NFL merged three teams into the fold from the old All-American Football Conference. Those were the Cleveland Browns, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Baltimore Colts. Not the Colts as we know them today, however. This was back in 49. This made the NFL a 13-team league. So I'm imagining they went a season with bye weeks back then, because how else would you have done it?
Right.
That Colts team folded after 1 year, so it was not an ongoing issue at the time. It's been fascinating to kind of learn about the history of the different leagues out there and how they've all come to pass. 1984, L.A. Rams running back Eric Dickerson ran for 215 yards in this date in a 27-16 win over Houston, topping O.J. Simpson's single-season mark of 2,003 rushing yards. Dickerson finishing the year with 2,105, which still stands.
He was just the second guy to rush for 2,000, too,
He was
right?
the second guy to rush for 2,000, yes. And then since then, we've had about another five or six guys do it, but none of them topping his 2,105. Birthdays for this date, a couple of big-timers on this date. Born in 1938, passing away at the age of 74 in 2013, David Deacon Jones, the guy who invented the term sack. He was a big fan of the head slap.
Yep.
We used to talk to him every year at the Super Bowl. Loved to tell how he'd smack guys right upside the head. 8-time Pro Bowler, 5-time first-team All-Pro, and a Hall of Fame inductee in 1980. Born in this state in 1942. How about Luke's uncle?
Luke, I am your uncle.
Dick Butkus. Luke Butkus, his uncle, born in this state. NFL Hall of Fame linebacker for the Bears, also a sportscaster in his own right. 8-time Pro Bowler, much like Deacon Jones. 5-time first-team All-Pro, much like Deacon Jones. And he beat him to the Hall of Fame by 1 year, got there in 1979. This date in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located here in town on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, or you're just in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Cleveland Browns head coach Mike Pettine has once again named Johnny Manziel as the starting quarterback for the Browns this weekend. Manziel has been in and out of Pettine's doghouse since being drafted by Cleveland in the first round last year and has been benched for the last 2 weeks because of bye week hijinks that Manziel got into. Browns starting quarterback Josh McCown is out for the season with a broken collarbone, so they've have been juggling that position here for the last month or so. Green Bay Packers running back Eddie Lacy missed curfew last Wednesday night in Detroit and consequently touched the ball just 6 times last Thursday night against the Lions after posting back-to-back 100-yard games the previous 2 weeks. Packers head coach Mike McCarthy said yesterday that the opportunity is there in front of Lacy and all of the other running backs on the roster. It's just a matter of who's going to step up and take advantage of it. So the frustration with Eddie Lacy continues after back-to-back 100-yard games. We'll see if he's back in the good graces of McCarthy this weekend.
You know, there have been several of these backfields that now have left us with no option, no good option heading into the fantasy playoffs, Tony, and that is one of them. How can you play Lacy now? I don't know how you can trust him. I guess I'd play him over James Starks if I owned them both. How could you play DeMarco Murray now after 14 carries? I know he went to the owner. What does that mean?
Did you see what Kelly had to say about that today, by the way?
No, what did he say?
Chip Kelly said, they sat next to each other on the team flight. It wasn't orchestrated.
Okay, well, on his way back to his seat, he chose to sit next to the owner. Look, orchestrated, not orchestrated, however you want to put it, somebody put out the story. Somebody wanted the information out there that DeMarco
sure.
Murray is acting like a squeaky wheel.
And it's the second time this year that they've had this in the press, right? That DeMarco Murray has fought this kind of battle in the press now twice already this season. It's it's not a great situation, and that, by the way, is an Eagles team where they're in a division that's bad enough that 5-7 has them tied for first place. That's what the NFC East is at this point, with the Giants, Washington, and Philadelphia all at 5-7, and now Dallas, with that win on Monday night, is just a game back. So everybody is still very much alive in the chase for that division with four games left to play.
Which is why there's an article on Pro Football Talk, or an opinion piece on Pro Football Talk, that seems absolutely silly, asking, could the Eagles cut DeMarco Murray? Not during the season.
No.
You think they would hand him to the Dallas Cowboys, which you would kind of figure he would turn back to, right, if that were the case. I understand Darren McFadden has stayed healthy, which is rare for him, but I don't believe the Philadelphia Eagles. Heck, the New York Giants. You think the New York Giants couldn't use DeMarco Murray?
Right. I mean, if you cut him,
Washington?
He's going to have to go through the waiver wire.
Right.
So who knows who's going to pick
him
up.
Any team in that division,
right,
other than Philadelphia,
but
could use DeMarco Murray.
You wouldn't think he's going to get past Dallas, who would have the highest waiver priority right now.
You wouldn't think.
Right?
You wouldn't
so,
think.
There's just no way.
Right. I mean, you wouldn't do it as a cut, because his salary next year is fully guaranteed. And that's why some of the speculation is, well, you know, if they keep him around, they cut him in the offseason, they still owe him $7 million next year. Well, as a cost cutting move, they're not going to take the chance, especially after just knocking off New England and Foxborough.
Sure.
That team thinks, hey, we can get hot now the final month, and why can't they?
And,
right?
Maybe he's not playing for Chip Kelly next year.
Well, and also, there's that possibility, although, talking with Adam Kaplan of ESPN this weekend, who is based in Philadelphia, he does think Chip Kelly will be back to get at least one more year there. Keep it in mind, I mean, look, I know it's gone bad this year, but they've won 20 games in his first 2 years. And for all we know right now, they may end up winning the division when it's all said and done.
They could. They could. I just, it's been a major disappointment this year in Philadelphia.
Not arguing that.
There's not a bunch of injuries you can point to in Philly this year and say that's the reason why they're having the problems they're having.
Don't 2 years of 10 wins earn you some kind of credit with the ownership?
Probably earns you something, but you're talking about a year where Dallas has been miserable because they lost their starting quarterback in Dez Bryant for a month and a half. That was the team that was expected to be competing with you for the NFC East, and they couldn't get out of their own way.
Right, but Tony, we cover a team that has won 7 games in the last 2 years, and we think that it's still the most likely thing is that the coaching staff is back next year, at least the head coach is.
I know, but there was no real talk going into this season that they've won 10 games in back-to-back years. They've really handed the keys of this thing to Chip Kelly, and it's expected to not be a playoff team, to be a Super Bowl contending type of team this year in Philadelphia, and they're not close to that right now. They may still win the East, but they're not close to that, and a lot of it falls at the feet of Chip Kelly has decided to get rid of DeSean Jackson. Chip Kelly has decided to get rid of Jeremy Maclin. Chip Kelly decided to get rid of LeSean McCoy. He decided to do it his own way at the offensive skill positions, and they're not better. They're worse than they were with those players, and a lot of people thought they would be worse without that quality of player on that roster.
Granted, but to me, it comes down to basically he has screwed things up for 1 year where he had success for two. I got to believe that outweighs it going forward.
But I think it probably will, too.
I'm not there. I don't know. I'll say this, though. For as much as we all, you know, we often, and I'm guilty of it as well, we throw away the line about players or teams quitting on a coach or quitting on their team or whatever and not giving effort. Clearly, Philadelphia was playing terrible football, giving up 45 points 2 weeks in a row. I can't believe they quit if they were able to go to Foxborough, get down 14-0. If a team was going to quit, that was the time. New England, under Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, have never allowed a team to come back on them after they got up 14 on them in Foxborough to win the game. And they fought back with special teams, with defense, just enough offense, and won that game on the road and held off New England in the end.
They did.
I can't believe that team's quit on Chip Kelly after that performance last week. So we'll find out what the last month of the season brings. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board today. The question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, is this. What is the next off-the-field upgrade you'd like to see for the Jacksonville Jaguar franchise in lieu or in light of the vote going down by the city council unanimously approving the expenditure of funds to put together an indoor practice facility, amphitheater, and club seating upgrades here at Everbank Field. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Allen Robinson joins us here in the studio at Everbank. And, Allen, we were just talking about which player has most exceeded your expectations. See, some people voted for you because you're having such a great year. Other people said, well, I expected him to be this good, so you didn't exceed the expectations. Have you surprised yourself with how productive you've been able to be in this pass offense this year?
No. You know, I mean, for me, you know, if our receiver core, you know, we really took into this offseason as far as, you know, we wanted to be the best receiver core, you know, that we could be, you know. So I don't think that we limited ourselves at any time. You know, we knew that we had a lot of talent in our room. You know, we had just put it all together, you know. So I think everybody really, you know, me, Hearns, Marquise, you know, once Rashad came in, you know, Brian Walters really busted their butt throughout the spring and summer, you know, to get to where we're at now.
That's Allen Robinson with us live yesterday along with Jeff Logman, Tony Smith. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today here as AR-15 joined us towards the end of the program. Tony, we went to the Super Bowl in Phoenix last year, and Allen Robinson made the media rounds, and I was over on the Sirius XM set, and I remember someone saying to me, who's that guy? I'm like, oh, you don't know who that is? That's our guy. That's Allen Robinson from Jacksonville. We had him on with us over on the Sirius set, and this year I have a feeling there are going to be a lot more people that know who Allen Robinson is if he makes a trip to Santa Clara, right? I mean, you know, to hang out and do the whole thing again. Maybe he'll be coming off his first Pro Bowl appearance the weekend before, which would be spectacular. But I love it, man. You know, we feel like we want to be one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver groups in the National Football League. I think they can be one of the best in the National Football
League. When healthy, I think they are right now.
They may be, yeah. They really are. I mean, I guess when you look potentially 5D, potentially what they bring. I look, you know, a year from now, if Marquise Lee can get on track and Rashad Greene can stay healthy as well and provide what they can provide along with Hearns and Robinson taking their games up, I don't expect that they peaked at this point, at this young age in their careers. It's going to be pretty spectacular to watch. It was pretty cool having him in yesterday. I mentioned we've got some rugby tickets for you. How about giving away a four-pack right now? United States, Canada, national teams will square off this Saturday, Hodges Stadium, over on the campus of UNF at 3 o'clock. I'm going to try to make that, I think. I'm trying to think what I have going on Saturday afternoon, Tony, and unless my wife has some Christmas shopping surprise in store for me, I'm thinking I could probably go to that one. So I talked to Spinner this morning.
You're running out of shopping days.
I'm trying to make it out there. I don't do a whole lot of Christmas shopping. You will be surprised to know, as my wife and I don't go crazy for each other. We spoil the kid rotten, and that's just the way it is. And, you know, get a couple of things for the in-laws, and that's about it. We don't have many, you know, I've got extended family all over the place. We don't all buy for each other. It'd be crazy, you know? So I personally don't like gifts. I don't like, I don't want anything. I let my in-laws get me, like, Golf Digest for Christmas. Fine. Thank you. All right, if you insist on getting me something. But I don't need anything.
What time is the game?
3 o'clock in the afternoon. Let's go hang out. Spinner said, we'll hook you up. We can go down on the sideline. I don't need to be on the sideline, man. I just want to go out there, wear the red, white, and blue. And if you do win tickets right now, as a matter of fact, we'll take caller number 5 at 641-1010. We'll give you a 4-pack of tickets to go see the United States play Canada. And this is, I mean, this is just like, I want to see people out there face painted, dressed up, waving flags. This is your official national team. The highest level that this sport is played at in the United States of America, trying to qualify for the World Cup, which is a big deal in rugby. This is as big as it gets for rugby league. Rugby league is not in the Olympics. Rugby, what is it? Rugby eights, is it?
Sevens.
Sevens. That's going to be in the Olympics coming
sevens.
Up.
Sevens. And there's the Rugby World Cup. Rugby Union World Cup was earlier this year.
Right, so, which is a completely different branch of rugby. So for rugby league, which is, you know, different rules, style of play, things like that, compared to union, we've gone over it in the past with Spinner. I couldn't give you all the differences.
Rugby league, honestly, is the most like American football. of the three different codes of rugby. Rugby league is the most like football in this country.
That's the one they're playing Saturday at UNF. So caller 5 at 641-1010. We'll hook you up with a four-pack of tickets to get out there. You have to pick them up from 1010XL's studios over on 9090 Hogan Road, but you can't get them until noon at the earliest today, but anytime after noon today, and we'll have four packs tomorrow and Friday as well for you to give away. A couple of just odds and ends I'd like to clear up here before we get to the final segment of the program and get to the fan feedback spotlight, where we asked you today to weigh in. Still time for you to do this, by the way, to tell us what off-the-field upgrade you'd like to see next for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Seen a lot of different suggestions, some good, some a little outside the realm of reality, and that's fine, too. And we'll check in here on the text line, the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line in a minute. ESPN is doing a thing where every correspondent from their NFL Nation coverage, that would be Mike DiRocco for the Jacksonville Jaguars, makes a late-season prediction for all 32 teams in the National Football League. Don't know if you peeked at this, Tony. I'll give you the other ones in the division first.
Okay.
Okay. For the Houston Texans, Tanya Ganguly, former Jaguar reporter for the Florida Times-Union, says that she predicts J.J. Watt will get at least 6.5 sacks in the final four games, making him the only player in league history with three seasons of at least 20 sacks. No player has more than one such season since the sack became an official stat in 1982, with the exception of Watt.
And Belichick, earlier today, speaking at his press conference, actually, Belichick was one of the coaches on the Giants staff during the late 80s, early 90s, part of those Super Bowl runs. So he coached Lawrence Taylor. And he said, you know, trying to get ready for J.J. Watt's a lot like getting ready for LT.
Don't tell Doom that.
Right.
He insists he is the most overrated player, perhaps, in sports history. Indianapolis, Mike Wells is the reporter. He said running back Frank Gore's streak of 1,000-yard rushing seasons will come to an end at 4. Gore has rushed for 702 yards a season. So it's within reach, but he needs to average about 75 yards a game in the final four contests, and he's only topped that average four times this year, including once in the past six games. So it doesn't look like he's going to get there at this point. And the Jags can certainly put a crimp in those plans this weekend. For Tennessee, Paul Kaharski writes, he predicts Marcus Mariota will set a new rookie record for touchdown passes. He has 19 in 10 games. Do me a favor, will you, and look up what Jameis Winston's sitting at right now for TD passes, if you don't mind. At that pace, Mariota, he'd get seven. He needs seven to match Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson. They co-hold the record at 26 touchdown passes for a rookie quarterback. He says he'll find at least one more and take the top line in the record book for himself. What's Winston sitting at right now?
17 and 11.
Okay, so he's pretty good. That's the complete opposite of Blake Bortles' rookie season, 11 and 17. But, you know, so he was within range but would need a bigger flourish to get there down the stretch. But it's doable. He needs nine to tie in the final four games of the season. Here's what Mike DiRocco wrote about Blake Bortles. And we talked about, you know, 11 and 17, not an auspicious,
by the way,
set of rookie numbers. Yeah.
For Jameis, seven of those 17 have come in the last three games. He had the 5-touchdown game a couple weeks ago.
Well, that'll skew the numbers.
Yeah.
Certainly. For the Jags, Bortles, who they drafted and said they really wanted to park on the bench and let him learn and acclimate himself to the National Football League, played ahead of schedule. And I think everyone is glad that he did at this point in time, because he was able to hit the ground in better fashion this year. Mike DiRocco predicts that Blake Bortles will have the greatest season by a quarterback in Jaguar history. We know he already owns the record with 27 TD passes and counting, and he's on pace, as you mentioned yesterday, to throw for only 2 yards less than Mark Brunell did in 1996. So definitely within striking distance. Just if he hits his averages and picks up 3 extra yards somewhere along the way, he'll hold the single season yardage and touchdown marks in the same year. And as I said yesterday, I think that TD mark could sit there for a while. And not that the young guys are not going to get better around it, but the hope is, as the team gets better, there's less need to throw as much, right? You want to be a team that can run the football. And when you're hopefully trying to put away fourth quarter leads next year, that's what you're doing. You're running the football, running the clock, having success, picking up first down. So D-Rock not, you know, breaking any news on the pace that these numbers wrong, but he thinks, you know, ultimately it'll be seen as the greatest quarterback season in Jaguar history. And I think he's right. I mean, well, I guess you argue 96, right, with the 4,300 yards, the only 4,000-yard passing season in Jaguar history.
Which is still just...
It is stunning, Tony.
It's, and we've talked about these kind of numbers before with the Jags and, you know, the all-time passing numbers and 23 touchdowns. And you look at, you know, the year in statistics, and there's 14 quarterbacks that passed for more than 23 touchdowns last year, right? It's that kind of thing, and it's like, my gosh. Like, just find somebody that can get it done. I'm looking at the... Bortles probably in line as well to hold the record for most completions and attempts, and in a season when this year is done as well, he's on that kind of pace at least for the moment, which makes sense considering he could hold the yardage record as well.
Well, imagine if he was more efficient, right? I mean, he's gonna completions. I could understand attempts, but is he must be blowing the attempt mark out of the water, because with his completion percentage. You know, he's not as efficient as he needs to be in chasing both of those single season marks.
He is at 471 right now with four games left to play. The single season record set in 1996 when Burnell went for 4,367 was 557.
And so he's on pace for like 630, something in that rough ballpark, 625, something like that.
Yeah.
Something. So, I mean, he would blow the attempt record out of the water.
And he has 272 completions at this point. 353 is the record.
Okay.
So he's about 80 off of that. So he'd need 20 a week.
Which is doable, but not as sure a thing. He'll definitely break the attempts record. But regardless of the attempts and completions, if you have the most yardage and touchdowns, from a statistical standpoint, now you can argue Burnell's season's better because he took him to the playoffs, right? And he went on a playoff run. That's fine if you want to look at it from that perspective. But purely from a productivity numbers perspective. And I understand the evolution of the game of football and how it's different. And, you know, today's passing records can't be compared to the passing records in the 1970s very easily and evenly.
No.
But still, pretty amazing, man. Again, if you would have told me 27-13 for the season at the beginning of the year, I would have said, okay, maybe, maybe. Maybe. And that's kind of the high end. Now, the interceptions, unfortunately, are probably going to be significantly higher than 13, even if he has, well, significantly. If he has, let's say, two more the rest of the way, that would probably be pretty good based on his track record. He's averaged just about one a game. So if he only has two in the final four games, 15, and if he picks up, I don't know, even, you know, six touchdown passes, which I would think would be on the low end the way he's been going.
Sure.
33-15. Oh, I'd take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. If he only threw two interceptions here in the last four games, that would mean he threw two in his last five.
That'd be pretty good.
That would be real improvement.
That would be a nice bit of momentum in that category heading into the offseason. Not that I don't know if any of that really carries over, but at least in terms of you know, raising fans' expectations and getting their hopes up heading into the offseason.
Sure.
I think that would play in with that as well. Also, got a tweet I wanted to comment on earlier. Let me see if I can find who it came in from. This was from Sean at 9710 Casey. Said, taxpayers, in terms of these stadium enhancements, taxpayers shouldn't be paying any portion of it. He sent that tweet in. Well, my understanding, and this was in the press release that came out yesterday, in terms of how the Jags and the city are paying for this, is that none of these funds from the city's half, keeping in mind, $90 million split with the Jags, so $45 million from the city is what they're on the hook for, that none of it's coming out of the general fund. And all funds for the project, I'm reading this directly from the press release, are identified solely for use at the sports complex, which, Tony, I'm stepping into waters where I don't have all my ducks in a row, but I believe that's like, you know, bed tax, you know, tourist tax kind of thing. Those dollars that are earmarked only for the sports complex anyway, that's where the money's coming from. So, again, anything, you know, people would say, well, I'd rather spend this $45 million on something else. Well, this $45 million is earmarked specifically for the sports complex, and they decided to use it for this project. So this is not taking away from schools or firefighters or police officers or anything like that as far as that goes. So, again, I think it's a win-win all the way around on that score. All right, we got to take a timeout. We're going to come back in a moment. Dr. Stephen Lucy will join us from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. We'll take a look at the midweek injury report for your Jacksonville Jaguars. Also, check in on the fan feedback spotlight. Which off-the-field upgrade would you like to see next for your Jags? It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs, in-home, commercial plumbing, industrial plumbing, septic systems, you name it. If it has to do with plumbing, if you've got an issue or you want to prevent having an issue, same-day service, weekends included, call Metro Rooter, the right people with the right equipment. That's why they've been serving Jacksonville as well as they have since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Back with more in a moment on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious!
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
All right, down the stretch we come. We'll get to the fan feedback spotlight coming up here in a couple of moments, asking you which off-the-field upgrade you'd like to see next for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Got a lot of submissions on that one. In the meantime, time to talk about the injury front. Dr. Stephen Lucy, one of 31 physicians with Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Dr. Lucy, how are you?
I'm great.
Nice, another nice tie. You're a connoisseur of good ties. I like your ties.
I get a lot of them for Christmas and birthdays. And just, pick a few out myself.
Well, there you go. You know, that's all you need. All right, let's get down to brass tacks here with Paul Posluszny. How significant is his hand injury in the big scheme of things?
Well, it's significant in that we saw how much we missed him in that last Tampa game. And so he's a critical factor. It's my understanding he's got a few fractures in his hand.
A few.
And that, as we learned with Julius Thomas, there's often several ways to treat these, either operatively or non-operatively. I understand he's had some opinions on this, and they haven't come down to whether he's going to have surgery or not. But either way, I don't really look for him back this week, but hopefully we will be seeing back later.
So the options could include, let's presume he doesn't play this week. The options could include have surgery basically immediately, right, and then potentially play with a cast on your hand after surgery, or perhaps shut it down for the year, or elect to not have surgery, maybe put it off till after the season and try to play with a cast as well. Those would seem like the options, right?
Yeah, I think that's true. Sometimes, you know, you can just do these without surgery and still play in a cast and they heal, and you'll see this from time to time. Linebackers playing in a club, sometimes, you know, with Paz, he's out there for his brains, giving away a little brawn, because with a club on your hand, you can't keep the blockers away from you quite as well. And, you know, intercepting passes, those things. But, you know, we've seen, like, Jonathan Cyprian did a pretty good job with a club on his hand. And so we'll see if we can get him back out there.
So we shouldn't this is not the official word, but we shouldn't expect him this weekend, I think it's fair to say.
Right? Yeah, I think that would be a logical statement to make. Again, it's not official one way or the
correct
other. So I wouldn't be speaking out of bounds saying he is or not. But, you know, when somebody... it hurts, you know, when you break something. I mean, and it doesn't hurt. It hurts if you slam it up inside somebody's helmet or shoulder pads, even if it is in a cast.
I hear they have wonderful painkillers in the National Football League.
Pretty good stuff,
them,
yeah.
You know, so,
but, you know, not as good as they used to. You know,
that Toradol, they're missing the Toradol.
Yeah, they're missing the Toradol, and the shoot 'em up and send 'em in coach is not quite as prevalent
right
as everybody would like it to be. And, you know, that's changed a little over the year.
All right. So, look, best of luck to Paul Posluszny on a speedy recovery, but maybe Jordan Tripp or whomever needs to start gearing up for an expanded role this week, it sounds like. Rashad Greene, the official diagnosis was a separated shoulder for him, right?
That's right, and that's that little joint on top of your shoulder that it seems like a lot of quarterbacks, and particularly wide receivers, get it because they get wrapped up and driven into the ground right on the tip of their shoulder. As I understand it, his was what we call a grade one, which is the mildest form, that he's feeling better. And so he's hopeful that, you know, that he'll be able to play this week. It's one of those deals that You can put some channels or bubbles in the pad or something to protect it, but in the end, football is a football, and you have to be able to take a hit and deliver a hit. But for a wide receiver, it's more take a hit than delivering one.
Sure. And, you know, from my perspective, if nothing else, you could be out there on punt return. It would be a big boost for them, but we'll see. Is it one of those things that if he can go, he can go, or would it be a case where maybe he can go, but you'd like to limit his exposure?
You know, that's really hard to do, because that's when the doctors start trying to limit the exposure, the coaches, that is very difficult for coaches. So I think it's one of those things, if he can go, he can go, and then it's up to the coaches and the general manager and the football people to decide how they want to do it. Would the docs try to stay out of that, well, he can do this, but he can't do that, because that just never works too well with the coaching staff.
Alan Hurns has been cleared to return.
Correct.
At this point in time.
Right. We look forward to having him back. Boy, they did well without him, but with him in there, that's an awful good group.
No question about it. For you, as a general rule with concussions, and every person is different who suffers one, the severity can differ widely as well. Once they're cleared, they're cleared? Or, I mean, is there a window of time when you feel like they may be more susceptible to reoccurrence of you know, if he gets hit in the head, a hit that may typically not do so much to him, is there that, you know, a window? Or is it a case of when you're cleared, and you're no more or less likely to suffer a concussion than you were prior?
Well, I think it's part of what you said, and that's why this concussion protocol is in place, because you're much more likely to sustain that second problem while you're still symptomatic. So before they're released, they have to be totally symptom-free for a week. And so in this case, I think he was surprisingly quite symptom-free early, but not quite enough to play last week. But when they're cleared, I mean, again, that's no baby. And I mean, we would hate to have him have another one this soon, because that would be having him out even longer. But it's more or less when you're cleared, you're cleared. You know, we can't scientifically say that he's any more at risk than the next guy once he's been cleared.
All right, there he is, Dr. Stephen Lucy. So that's good for Alan Hurns, and it sounds like positive for Rashad Greene overall. And with Paul Posluszny, kind of a wait-and-see thing, but don't expect him to be out there this weekend. That's not, again, not the official word from the Jags. That's just the informed opinion of a medical professional.
Correct.
Who's seen this go down the road before. Dr. Stephen Lucy, one of 31 physicians with Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Doc, good to see you.
Good to see you.
All right, we'll do it again next Wednesday. There he goes, Dr. Stephen Lucy. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Appreciate Dr. Lucy popping in every Wednesday to give us the latest on the injury front. All right, before we forget, Wayne was our winner of a four-pack of tickets to go see the United States national team take on the Canadian national team in rugby this Saturday over at UNF. Got another four-pack for you right now. All you need to do is dial 641-1010. We'll take the fourth caller right now at 641-1010. Get a four-pack of tickets. The game is Saturday at 3 o'clock. You can pick up your tickets basically anytime after 12 o'clock today over at 9090 Hogan Road, a.k.a. 1010XL World Headquarters. Tony Smith, the fan feedback spotlight today, asking folks, what's the next project you'd like to see the Jags try to attack off the field in terms of an upgrade? This on the heels of the announcement of the indoor practice facility, amphitheater, and club seat upgrades getting approved.
From Adam, he said, retractable shades, something Coliseum-like. This Sunday in December, the high is 81 against the Colts. From Richard, the seats, specifically the color, I would make them dark. The bright blue highlights empty seats. From Jarrell, additional parking near the stadium would be great. From Jags movie guy, time for the skyway to extend to the stadium so it can at least be useful occasionally. From drunken fun guy, WrestleMania. From Daniel, sections of the stadium cool zones so you don't die in August and September. From Ocho Fisho, an on-site team store with normal business hours. From Harrison Fjord, an aquarium for all the fish lovers. From Eric, I wouldn't mind seeing that cover over the stadium that is has been proposed, cooler for fans, and from Irish Jaguar, a Super Bowl championship banner.
Yeah, that would be kind of, I guess, an off-the-field upgrade, but directly tied to an on-the-field upgrade. So I'm going to disqualify that one, Irish Jag. Tony, one of the cool things, many cool things about Lambeau Field, but the Packer team store up there is enormous. Now, yeah. I don't know if that's open like on a Tuesday afternoon and you can just roll in there, but it is, I mean, spectacular the size and scope of what's available. Now, clearly, they've got many decades more history to sell and Hall of Famers and the like than the Jags do, but in terms of just having that kind of access. Hey, you know what? Shad, put it on the list, baby, and Santa Shad will provide at some point, I'm sure, in the future. Here's a few more. Joshua Lee Wright said he wants to see real-life Jaguars underneath the field, kind of like Gladiator with the Tigers under the Coliseum. We could use them to play defense from time to time. Hey, I can dream. Hey, forget that. How about just classing in, you know, sections with the Jaguars behind them, maybe prowling behind the visiting team bench. I don't know, something like that. what else? Matthew said some type of cover, but leave the area over the field open. Doesn't need a retractable roof. Would cost way too much for the renovation. Similar to the Dolphins concept. We've seen that artist rendering of basically a tarp, for lack of a better term, some kind of, you know, lightweight canvas type material that could be taken up and down. It would be kind of fascinating to provide some shade. Somebody asked a good question. He said, you know, the club seats being glassed in, is that going to create a backdrop of glare, you know, right behind those people sitting there? Are they going to get cooked from every side? Now, I would imagine they'd use some kind of glass that would prevent that from happening.
Probably.
I couldn't tell you, you know, but trust me, on a $90 million, well, I say trust me, there have been all kinds of boondoggles in construction before, but I would think on a $90 million project that Shad Khan is involved with, they will have that remedied before it ever becomes a problem.
I would think so. I did look up the Packers store hours just out of curiosity, and I don't know if this is for the Christmas season or not, but according to them, this through basically Christmas Eve, they're Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, Saturday, 9 to 7, Sunday, 10 to 6. So they're open every day right
now. Oh, there's plenty of time.
Yeah.
They're open. There you go. Your wish has been granted, courtesy of Jaguars Today. You're welcome. All right? So there you have it. Good to know. And as we wrap up, Chris Brown said, I want to see the plumbing upgraded as well. And then Josh Williams said, hopefully something practical like an in-stadium roller coaster or water slide. Hey, Lazy River, let's get that first, then we'll worry about all the rest of that crazy stuff. Come on, just the Lazy River that rings the entire stadium. Are you kidding me? I don't know if we need to see any fat dudes in the Lazy River, though. There's got to be some kind of body mass index that goes into that for the fat dudes out there. Ladies, you can use it as you please. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to John Osier from Jaguars.com for stopping by today. Thanks to Dr. Stephen Lucy as well from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Thanks to the Jacksonville Axemen providing his tickets to give away to the rugby match this weekend. More four packs tomorrow and Friday. Ryan O'Halloran in tomorrow. We'll check in with the Colts media and what they're thinking heading into this game as well. For Tony Smith, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. That does it for us on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Stick around. XL Primetime is next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.